So I wanted to share the word with you this morning, and let's go to Genesis 18. And, in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19 is where we're going to read. And, God wants us, as I believe you all know very plainly, He wants us to do His will. He wants us to walk in His word. He wants us to, live our lives for Him, right? So, living by the word. And that's one of the reasons why God says here to Abraham, He says, "For I know him," talking about Abraham, "that he will command his children and his house after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, and do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring unto Abraham that which he hath spoken unto him." God is going to bless Abraham and help him because he knows that he's going to do this. He knows that he is going to raise up his kids to know him. I mean, one of the things, you know, God knows who is his, and he wants to bless, but there are conditions. But Abraham is going to get blessed because it says here, to keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment. You know what justice and judgment? I looked up these words. Justice is righteousness. It's the word justice used is 15 times the same word. It's 128 times it's righteousness. So he's going to raise his kid to do it right, to do righteously. And judgment is the act of deciding, just like a court, a law. Somebody pronounces a judgment. He's going to raise his kids so that they make the right decisions throughout their lives. They do what they're supposed to do. They know what to do. And then they execute it. So, go to 2 Samuel. Second Samuel, chapter 8. Verse 15. It says, "And David reigned over all Israel, and David executed judgment and justice unto all his people." One of the great things about David, says this about David a lot, but he executed. And this is what you and I have to do. If we're going to walk with the Lord, you got to execute his righteousness, his judgment, justice, and judgment. You have to choose to do his word, to make the decision. And you execute it in your life. I mean, it's really, I mean, think about it that way. It's, you're going to carry this out. This is what God's word says. This is what I'm going to do. You know, and David lived and God blessed him and his reign and the nation because he did it. See, in John 17:17, it says, well, I think you all know it, but let's read it. John, Gospel of John 17:17. Says, "Sanctify them." This is the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Father. And he asked the Father, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." When you and I live and do the word, that word is literally what truth is. And every time you and I choose to do the truth and choose to execute it, we are doing it walking in righteousness and judgment, making the decision according to that truth. And all that God has promised really is ours because we make those decisions. You know, he will bless it. He will bless that big time. Go to Genesis 20. There's a record here. About Abraham. And it's kind of it's a wild little record here, but I wanted to read it with you because it makes the point. One of the points that I'm trying to make. In Genesis 20, verse 1, it says, "And Abraham journeyed from thence towards the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Garna. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Garna, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, Behold, thou art a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." That's a heck of a dream. Right? That one that sets you sit up straight up in your bed with a cold sweat. Now watch this, okay? "But Abimelech hath not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also the righteous nation? Said he not unto me that she is my sister, and she herself said, He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, Yea, I know that thou did this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffer I thee not to touch her." I'm telling you, okay, good, don't touch her. "Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, knowest that thou shall surely die, and all that are thine." That's quite a sentence. So he didn't know. He got lied to. Abimelech, he's the Pharaoh. He's the king. Everything in the kingdom belongs to the king. So Abraham says, "This is my sister." He says, "Oh, I like her. She's with me. It's all legit." Okay? You may not like the culture, but that's legit. God didn't, because Abraham was afraid that these guys weren't godly and that they would kill him. And Sarah and he agreed to do this. And for whatever reason, the point is, God intervenes in Abimelech's life. God keeps Abimelech from sinning. That's the major point here. God is the one who is helping Abimelech. He's warning him. He's instructing him. And he's giving him the way in which to go forward here for deliverance. Abimelech didn't do anything. He kept his integrity. He was dead wrong, but that's because he was lied to. Yet the consequences are still severe, right? Even if you get lied to? You were a dead man. Even though they lied to you, you're a dead man. So consequences don't necessarily go away that way, do they? There's an awful lot to think about here. An awful lot. But the main point that I really want you to focus in on is that God comes to him and God keeps him from sinning. I just think that that is. And just because you got integrity, you think you're right, don't mean that you are. You know, because you know, my understanding of the universe is limited. And just because I think I know doesn't mean I do. But God, even under those considerations and circumstances, things that not possible for you to know, God will make sure he will help you. That's a real comfort to me. That is a truly tremendous comfort to me. So go to 1 Kings chapter 9. See, God wants us to do his word. He will help us. He will be the one. He's given us his word. He's given us love. He's given us his how to do this. He wants us to do it. He wants to bless us. So in 1 Kings chapter 9, he'll give us the strength to carry it out. And when it came to pass, verse 1, and it came to pass when Solomon had finished the building, the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all that Solomon desired, which he was pleased to do, the Lord appeared unto Solomon a second time, as he appeared unto him in Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication, and thou hast made before that thou hast made before me, and I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever. And my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, in the integrity of his heart, and in the uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fall thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if thou shalt at all turn from following me, you or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And at this house, which is high, everyone that passeth by shall be astonished and shall hiss, and they shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto the land and to this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them and served them. Therefore the Lord had brought upon them all this evil. Yeah, it's the one thing that God, here it is, Solomon's at the top, the height of his walk with the Lord, and God says to him right in his face, don't do this. And guess what he does? Again, God is the one intervening. He's always in front of the curve. He will always help his people. He will always instruct, and you have to choose to do. Abimelech chose to do. He didn't want to be a dead man. He gave Abraham back his wife. All right, Solomon, not so much. He served other gods. And Israel suffered. And you know what? The temple was destroyed. And how many years in bondage? And you know, it was terrible. All because he didn't keep his integrity. He didn't choose to execute righteousness and judgment and justice. It's our duty to walk this way. Go to the seventh Psalm. In verse 8, the Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity that is in me. That's how God will judge his people. Go to Psalm 25. Verse 21. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. And I think they do. I think this is like a literal thing. You choose to do his word, his will. You choose to execute righteousness, judgment, justice, and they preserve you. I think that when you choose to do evil, it destroys you. Plain and simple. Whenever I do his word, the 26th Psalm, verse 1, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Verse 11. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. You know, that the word integrity doesn't show up in the New Testament because it's a similar word to singleness of heart. It is a similar word to uprightness, singleness of heart, and an expression like singleness of mind, thought. I mean, that's really what it's talking about, right? That's what integrity really is. You've chosen to be this type of individual, to do righteousness and justice and judgment. You've dedicated yourself to carry out your life in a certain way, according to God's word. That's what integrity is about. And in the New Testament, the phrase is used, you have singleness of heart. You know, focus to do the things of God. In Psalm 41, in verse 12, it says, as for me, thou upholdest me in my integrity and setteth me before thy face forever. God upholds your integrity. He fought for Abimelech. He fought for Solomon. You read any of the records of any of the great men that walked with him, he always dealt with them. warned them, told them, directed them. God fights for your integrity. He'll help you. You know, people have no problem at all listening to the devil. You ever notice that? They listen to that thing going up one side. It's like falling off a grease log backwards. How's that for an expression? All right. Mike was talking about Kenny's expression before. But it's just like falling off a grease log backwards. People can hear the devil's voice. And yet it really is not that hard to hear God's. They're just not very attuned to it. God upholds your integrity. I want to show you that. I want to go to, for a second here, go to John 14, 16. You know, the adversary whispers in your ears, oh, you can do that. You can get away with that. Nobody will know. Tempts you right off the deep end. 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Jesus Christ talking about the Holy Spirit, which we have. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go away, the comforter, this paraclete, this counselor, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me. The Spirit itself is going to judge the world because they didn't believe on him. Okay? The Spirit itself is going to judge it's of righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me no more. This Spirit is going to give us righteousness and judgment in our lives. Again, it's going to give us the ability to walk with God, to walk in integrity, in justice, and judgment, because we're always going to have the counselor with us. Verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. So judgment and justice, it's going to make known to us an awful lot of things, but it's also going to help us live our lives for God and doing all the things we're talking about here. But we're going to have that personal counsel within our heart of our Lord. And I want to show you one other thing. Romans. It's not in my notes, but it doesn't cost you anything. Romans chapter 2. Chapter 2? Yeah. Verse 11. It says, for there is no respect of persons with God. God don't care anything about you. He don't care you're male, female. He don't care what color you are. He don't care how much money you got. He don't care about nothing. I mean, get that through your head. Nothing. There's nobody better, nobody lesser. There's no respect. This is like pure. And this is probably the only place in the universe it is pure. Okay? No respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. It's the people who do his word, not the people who just hear it and know it. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, they don't have the word of God, they don't have the law of God, they do by nature the things that are contained in the law, these have not, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts and their conscience, also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meaning, while accusing or else excusing one another. Now, just think about this verse for a minute. It's a little difficult. Do you ever notice that even the unbelievers know the difference between right and wrong? You don't have to be godly at all, know the difference between right and wrong, know the difference between stealing is not good. I mean, why? Because God has written into the conscience of every man his law. Again, he doesn't want people to go off the deep end. He don't want them getting judged and being destroyed. He wants them to come to him. He's already put this in their soul. Now they can choose, like I said, they got zero problem listening to the devil and getting themselves talked into an awful lot of mess. But it's not because they haven't been warned. That's why, whosoever you are, you're without excuse. That is why there's no respecter of persons with God. You know, he's got that argument from Paul. Well, what about the poor little guy over there in the middle of the woods? You know what? God's just as much a part of the middle of the woods as he is in the middle of Manhattan. And you know the difference between right and wrong. And everyone will be judged according. Wouldn't it be so much more beautiful to understand so much about your Heavenly Father? But one way or the other, it is what it is. Isn't that a nice statement? It is what it is. There's no respecter of persons with him. Hey, Proverbs. You know, and this is daily life. All this stuff is daily life. Proverbs 11. I mean, we're not talking about brain surgery here. Although if you are a brain surgeon, you're supposed to do that well also. But I haven't been trained in such. But let's put it this way. I think you get the point by reading these simple little records here. Proverbs 11, verse 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, for the perverseness of the transgressors shall destroy them. A person who walks in integrity, it will guide them. God will guide them. And their perverseness, it'll destroy them. Again, no respect of persons. You don't like one above the other. Whatever you do is what you get. All right? What you give, you receive. Isn't that the truth? You give love, guess what you get in return? Love. You give treachery, guess what you give in return? It whatever you give is what you get. Yeah, it may not be from that specific situation, but that's what you get. You walk in integrity. David walked in integrity, right? But he was tortured for 20 years. They chased him to want to kill him. But he still walked in his integrity. See, it's not, you understand that point. In other words, just because you're walking, well, I should be blessed today. Well, maybe, maybe not. But God is going to take care of you. He is going to provide for you. He is going to be the one who will be there and guide you, bless you, and love you. Even in your getting chased by Saul for 20 years and having to live in the wilderness. God was with him. He was a man after God's own heart. God eventually elevated him. In fact, he made a covenant with him that the Christ would sit on his throne. Not too shabby. But look at this. In the same chapter here, Proverbs 11:1. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. It doesn't say a false balance is disappointing to the Lord. It says that it's an abomination. You cheat somebody just by a little bit, tip the scale. You know, when I was a kid, you used to go to the deli and they had these scales. I don't know what they do anymore. I don't go to the deli. I don't go to the deli no more. Mary goes to the deli. But they used to have a two-sided scale. They still got two-sided or just the electronic one? Yeah, they got the new kind. They put a little weight. You know, you wanted a half a pound of ham, they give you a half a pound weight. And then they'd slap the ham on top of the piece of paper until the balance would go. And then they'd throw you an extra slice. And just to show you, hey, you're a good customer. Thanks for coming. But there were people who would cheat. And they would change that weight so you wouldn't get the half a pound. God sees that, and he thinks this is an abomination. See, people think you don't see. It's too insignificant. Somebody lifted the pencil off the teacher's desk. It's called stealing. What does that make you? A thief. You lift a half $1 million off the desk. What does that make you? A thief. There's no degree. There's no respect of persons. It's righteous or it's evil. Do you figure that out? That's cold. That is the way God looks. And he helps us keep our integrity. He fights for us to keep it. But I wanted you to see how significant the way he looks. I mean, has anybody here not lifted something off of somebody? I have. God, forgive me. You know? Proverbs 16. Just a couple more. Just to make it interesting. Verse 11. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. You know, we talk about justice, right? In this life, really, there isn't any the way we think about it. You know, because men are making judgments, and they're making judgments about things that they can't possibly know everything about. Just like Abimelech. Hey, he told me he was a sister. So that judgment, that was everything he could possibly know, but it was still wrong. You follow me? God will help protect our integrity. We got to listen to him. He wants us to walk in justice and judgment. He wants us to raise our kids. He wants us to do all these things and execute the word in our life. The balance is all his. All the weights are his. He's the one that lines them up. His are the ones that the guy in the store has to, hey, this is what a half a pound is, and this is your half a pound. It better match. Because mine is the one that the judgment is made on. In chapter 19, verse 1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. And 20. 27, verse 7, it says, a just man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. You know, praise the Lord. And then go to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll close it there. Like I said, everything I said to you about the way in which you can look at this word integrity and in walking righteously and in singleness of heart. Ephesians 6. Don't space that on me now. So look, it says in verse 5, it says, the servant be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ. You know, you work for your boss. That's what the servant is. The servant is to be obedient to the boss. With fear and trembling, with respect. And you know what? He is the boss. And you do it with singleness of heart, with integrity. I think other places it says that we're to work heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. That's what you do. See, this is the word of the Lord, right? Now, there's going to be somebody, well, this boss is no good. So what? You're not working just for him. You're working for the Lord. And, you know, if you really hate that, then go get another job. Because you got to be able to put yourself in a place and in a position where you're carrying out the word of God and executing righteousness and judgment and justice. And you're executing it in your life. And he wants you to work heartily as unto the Lord. In singleness of heart. There's no, you know, I don't think when Joseph was in the prison and he was being a good, or whatever they call the guy who's the cut favor in the prison. All right. You know what? I can't think of the word, but anyhow, trustee. That's the word. See, Joseph became the trustee. He was still working for people who were treating him evil, weren't they? He was still working for Potiphar. Potiphar wasn't exactly on God's side. He was still working for Pharaoh. All right? He got all of it. Hey, who's he working for? Who's the one working with him? God. In every place, in every situation, when he was shooting off his mouth to his kid brothers and they all got jealous and tried to kill him and sell him into slavery, again, he did it in the integrity of his heart. I don't know if it was the best thing in the world to shoot your mouth off to the family. But God's working in the situation, got him all the way through to the place that he saved all of Israel. It's an awful lot of sacrifice in life to do the will of the Lord, and only God knew what was going on. And Joseph didn't know what was going on until he saw his brothers come in, and he was second in command of all Egypt, and he saw his brothers coming in to buy grain. And he says, now I know. That's a lifetime. Whatever we do, let's do it heartily as unto the Lord. Whatever we do, let's execute what God's word says, keeping our integrity, because God will help you keep it, so that you can execute justice, judgment, righteousness in your own life and be blessed. That's what I wanted to share with you.